Hello, and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Pete Supan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's Pete, your humble and thankful Rule Lord.
Yeah, so Pete is host of Rise of the Rule Lords, a Pathfinder 2nd Edition educational podcast designed to help players and game masters learn the 2nd Edition rules in fun and casual format. Pete is a former student organizer turned government bureaucrat. He spends his time with his dogs running Pathfinder for two groups as well as Pathfinder Society. And you can catch Pete every second and fourth Tuesday on your local podcatcher or at RuleLord2e.com. You know, I got to tell you, Pete, I don't know if you know anything about me, but I'm primarily a Starfinder guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, I've been playing Starfinder mostly for 4 years, and I just started playing second edition here probably a couple months ago, more regularly.
Oh, that's and,
yeah, and I find your podcast, actually your session or episode one, very helpful.
So That's really what it's made for.
Yeah. So Pete, can you tell us about your podcast and kind of what prompted you to start this in the first place?
Yeah. So my podcast is basically intended to help you learn the rules of Pathfinder 2nd Edition, less from the more academic side, and more like your friendly game master across the table, kind of helping you to come to terms with how the rules work. If you really want to learn Pathfinder, I'm going to plug my friend of the channel, How It's Played, who does these amazing video series. But for me, I'm just trying to organize it in a fun, casual way, explain stuff in simple terms in a way that people find hopefully fun, hopefully funny. And I think that kind of stuff really sticks with you, even if I'm not going into like an incredible amount of specific detail. And the whole reason that I started it was because there's another podcast that I loved. It really helped me with first edition rules called Trailblazer Academy, it's called now. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. They taught you how to play first edition rules. Really funny guys going back and forth, talking about the rules. And I thought that they were going to go into second edition when it came out. And then they just stopped, disappeared. And I kept waiting for some other podcast to help me learn these rules without reading, because I really, really do hate reading. It's not that I can't read or, you know, have difficulty with it. It's just staring at a blank, at a piece of paper with markings on it, I get distracted, and I can spend like an hour on one page and not take in a single bit of it. I really process stuff with audio or visual. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted something like that to come across, and nothing did. Tons and tons of actual plays. I'm sure they're all amazing, but I wasn't finding one that was specifically dedicated to teaching. There were a lot of great YouTube channels, again, How It's Played, Collective Arcana, things like that. But there wasn't a podcast, something that I could listen to at work and not get in trouble for watching a video. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why not? I like to teach. I used to do it professionally and really wanted to make something that people could digest in the same way that I learn. I think that it helps me become a better game master as I go into these rules and really have to learn about them so that I can puke them back out to other people. So I decided I'll get a microphone. I will speak the words. If people like it, then they'll listen. If they don't, no harm done. And people are listening. So that's great.
Yeah. So, I take it you have players too that you're trying to teach second edition. Do you point them to your podcast?
I don't. In fact, two players particularly are much more knowledgeable about the game than I am. I'm really glad to have them at the table. They can often like help steer me in the right direction when I have questions. We've all, you know, kind of learned it together. I mean, second edition is a young game. Everyone's essentially at the same level. It just depends on, like, were you someone who, as soon as you bought the core rule book, read all 600 pages and, you know, that's what you're able to talk about now? Or are you picking up really recently, in which case you don't really have a lot more experience than anyone else, just like someone else has a couple more months essentially under their belt. But they processed it better because they're good at reading, and I'm someone who did it a little bit slowly, but no, I don't have to make them listen to it. A couple of them do. A couple of them sponsored me on Patreon. But no, our game is our game, and we just have fun with it.
So, you know, listening to your podcast, it's very organized, very well produced, and very well edited. Is this the first time you've done something like this?
Yes.
Wow.
I had never touched audio medium before in my life before I made this podcast.
So how did you develop these skills then? I mean, how did you figure out how to do it and do the editing and actually, you know, kind of your the different voices and the different people you have chiming in? It sounds really, really professional.
Well, thank you. Because it couldn't be further from the truth. To kind of backpedal a little bit, like, I'm someone who used to give presentations for a living. I used to go around to student organizations all across the country and tell them how to effectively organize. And while I did that, I would have PowerPoint presentations. And, you know, there's PowerPoint presentations where people put it up, they like get a couple clip art things, they put the exact words, and they're gonna read exactly what's on there. I put time and effort into mine, and I don't mean to brag, but they were good looking presentations. They were engaging. I worked on stuff like timing, worked on making sure that, you know, the right picture came up at the right time. I didn't put any more words on there than I thought were necessary, and I figured out how to say what I wanted to say, when I wanted to say it, when I was going to drop beats, and that really helped me when I was making this podcast, because a lot of making that kind of presentation involves trying to figure out what you want to accomplish, and if you don't know how to accomplish it, learning how to accomplish it. So it was the same thing here when I was making the, you know, the first episode, and really the first trailer was like my guinea pig was like, okay, this could sound better. How do I make it sound better? Oh, look, there's this thing called normalization that you can do to your track. And trying to figure out like what I wanted to do and finding like a tutorial or a website, that's how people learn is, I had a teacher who said the best way to learn a city is to get lost in it. And I think that's the same for just about anything that you want to set your mind to. If you want to really learn how to do something well, the best thing you can do is just get into it, mess up a bunch. And if you can do it in a way where other people don't see you messing up, like that's all the better. So I did a lot of different test runs just with the trailer alone. And then by the time that I made the first episode, session zero, I already had a couple things under my belt. I was like, okay, we're going to give it the good old college try. And I did. And people liked it.
Neat. So for those who haven't listened to your zero, your first, and is your second episode, did it just drop?
Yes. Yeah. So I know it's a little confusing. I'm trying to go in the same way that people should, I think, run their sessions. Session zero being that kind of introductory where some people skip it. Maybe it's okay to skip it sometimes. And the session zero that I produced is also one I think that you could skip if you wanted to. And so session one, which is really the second episode, is the one like if you're going to start somewhere, at least start here. So that's why I went with that naming convention.
Oh, sure.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah. But, so tell folks what session zero is about and then what goes into one and two, if you could.
Yeah, Session Zero is basically a big old advertisement for Pathfinder 2 and really giving props to Paizo for making it. It is just saying, like, this is a good game. I think that you should try it. Here's kind of how Pathfinder 2nd Edition came about. There's, like, a brief little history there, followed by going into the top reasons that I think people will like this game, because, you know, when you look at Pathfinder 2nd Edition and then you also see Dungeons & Dragons, you know, the comparison always gets made, like, well, D&D is much more popular, they're both fantasy TTRPGs, why should I play that? And so I wanted to make not a thing saying, like, D&D is bad, like you see so many edition wars, saying this is why Pathfinder is good. If these sound like good reasons to you, you might enjoy this game. So that was Session Zero. Session One is the quick and dirty guide to playing Pathfinder, where I basically cover almost all of Chapter 9, which is the basics of how to play Pathfinder 2nd Edition from the perspective of a player, setting up your character, what you should be aware of when you're looking at your character sheet, like what kind of roles get made. I really wanted to demystify the process because the core rule book is an intimidating book to look at. It's this big old chonker. And really it's not. It's not a scary book because the stuff that you actually need could probably be like less than half of the size of what you get from a typical adventure path. But it's just organized in a way of like where this is the only book that you need to have. So getting it so that people could listen to this podcast, look at the book and say, okay, this is something that I can actually play. This is something that I can process. And then giving people the tools to be able to listen to the podcast first and then get to their session with 10 minutes to spare and make their character.
Yeah, I actually liked how you walk through things and how you said, you know, if you start with chapter 9, it's only like, 16 pages of content that you have to worry about. And
yeah,
that should be no problem reading that. Because I got to say, when I, a couple months ago, I was going to join a, I was actually in a 2nd Edition game, Age of Ashes game last year, but I got really, really ill and I had to drop out. Oh. And they had promised they would let me back in when I got better, but then they filled my spot. So,
yeah.
So they had an opening in another game, but with people I didn't know. And they said, okay, well, we're going to play. We just got this opening. We're going to play like tomorrow. And so I opened up the core book and tried to roll up a level 9 character.
Oh, goodness.
And I couldn't do it. And I said, I just can't do it. This is impossible. There's no way. So I gave up on it for several months. And it's just recently I said, you know, I'm going to roll with pre-gens. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to start making my own level 1 and 2 and 3 and, you know, as I learn more as I'm playing, and taking it in smaller chunks like that was way easier than trying to, you know, go with a higher level character knowing nothing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. And yeah. our one of my local groups, I say local, we're all across the United States, but we transferred from a first edition game playing Hell's Rebels and have converted it into playing 2nd edition. And we converted when we were at level 11 or so.
Wow.
And that was a big jump. And it was, you know, right when 2nd edition came about. And yeah, it was a little confusing taking all this in. So we said, okay, you know what? For a couple months, we're just going to restart. We're going to start from playing some first level characters. We're going to progressively work our way up so that we can feel more confident in our knowledge. You know, there's plenty of time to figure out how all the different mechanics work. And then we're just going to rebuild our characters from scratch. We're not going to be like, well, I had a Warhammer in first edition. I need to have a Warhammer in 2nd edition. Mm-hmm. And that's actually my character, who was a dwarf whose character is basically his hammer. And I really, really wanted that Dwarven Warhammer to come back in 2nd edition, but it never did. But yeah, we took it slowly. We figured out a lot of the ins and outs. There are still questions sometimes, but now all of those players feel a lot more comfortable going into it. So yeah, jumping in head first, it can be intimidating, but I think that's the same for any game. Mm-hmm. And if you mm-hmm. jump into a game of Eclipse with people who know how to play Eclipse, mm-hmm. you're going to be lost because that game is a monster. Mm-hmm. So yeah, take it slow.
So what's your session two about?
Session two is going to be about how to be a game master, or at least the basics of what you should know going into it being a game master. The preview is talk to your players. That is the most fundamental rule of being a game master, and it's something that I'm going to try to emphasize repeatedly throughout the episode. Got some guest appearances that'll be making their way in there from other podcasts and YouTube videos. So that should be pretty fun. But yeah, going over what it takes to be a game master to, again, demystify this thing that a lot of people think is a big, scary job. And it's really not. It's mostly a lot of soft skills, more than hard rules. And I'm going to be going over the hard rules in this particular episode. Episode 3 is going to be Game Mastering Part 2, where I have a guest panel, and we're going to be going over like the soft skills, the advice, the things to avoid, all of that kind of stuff that really is the core of being a game master.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like your session 2 is going to be one I need to listen to, because my local lodge here, I GM a lot of Starfinder, so I'm a 5 Nova GM, but they want me to start doing Pathfinder because they don't have enough Pathfinder GMs.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I said, okay, well, I guess I better start playing more, but there's a lot of the hard rules I don't know. You know, I'm picking some stuff as I go along, but I'm sure there's, I know there's differences that are going to trip me up. And so that's what I'm hoping that you'll talk about in session two.
Well, to be honest, if you know how to play Pathfinder Second Edition, you know how to GM Second Edition. There's a couple extra things, but it's really not a lot. You still have to know the conditions. It's the same thing that players have to know. You mm-hmm. still have to know like how to apply the conditions, how to read the different traits that are on weapons and feats and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff that really makes the difference between a game master is the game master just has to know how to create a balanced game. And those are the tools that Paizo gave you in the game mastering section. Mm-hmm. You know, the game master always has the unlimited ability to do whatever the heck they want. But what Paizo did was say, if you follow these numbers on these different tables that we made for you, you're going to have a well-balanced game. It's going to feel mm-hmm. appropriate for the level. It's going to make your players feel accomplished. And the rewards that they get out of it are going to feel like what they should be getting out of the game. So, you know, to be a game master, you can do whatever you want, and you don't have to follow any rules if you don't want to. But Paizo gave you all the tools that you need to be able to play a game or to run a game. Mm-hmm. And that's no more true than if you are running a pre-written adventure. So it sounds like you're doing it for Pathfinder Society, it sounds like.
Right. That's what they'll be looking to have me do. And I guess the issue is, I know there's, if people are lower than the average, than the APL, there's some bumps they can get. And yep. then there's something with treasure bundles based on the number of players in APL. And so those are the kind of things I need to get figured out. You know, the kind of the crunchy stuff.
Well, that's definitely more society than it is about GMing. Right. But like I started off GMing for Society 2. That's kind of how I fell into the role of being the forever GM, just because I really loved it when I was doing it for Society. The biggest thing is know how to read a book. The society scenarios or the adventure paths, they give you everything that you need. They give you the monster stat blocks, they give you the ACs, the treasure, and basically you're just regurgitating it out to your players and trying to make it interesting. That's the hard part, isn't the application of the rules. It's keeping your players involved and invested.
All right. Right, right. And I, again, I've run hundreds and hundreds of games, I'm familiar with those things. It's, again, when you do society, you got to follow the rules. And so that's what I'm still picking up the different things there. All right. So after you cover what the Game Master does, where are you going to go next?
Well, I have a lot of things planned. I actually have the next 13 episodes planned out. I'm going to be going over the traits, going to be going over the conditions. Session four, is going to be the actions, because the action economy is such a big deal.
I love that, too. It's awesome, man.
Yeah. My favorite part of the game. I was so bored playing first edition so many times, and it is so much more fun to be able to do more stuff. It isn't always successful. That multiple attack penalty can really hurt you. But like, you know, as a martial player, you know, there's a huge difference between being able to hit once, missing, waiting your entire turn to be able to do it again, compared to being able to do three hits. Maybe you hit twice, maybe you just hit once, but you got to have those three different shots. And that is like way more energizing to me.
Yeah, the two things I really love about second edition are the three action economy and also the critical success scaling. That is just, and especially with conditions, with, you know, when you have a critical success, you know, and it's you know, regular success versus critical, or regular failure versus critical failure, all the different variants you can have on the effects, it just makes the game so much more interesting.
It does. It makes it way more dynamic. My players definitely hang on rolls a lot more than when I was running a first edition game. Because like, it can seem really, really big, and, or, you know, they add their modifier, they had a high roll, and then it still doesn't hit. And you're like, oh no, this is bad. I thought this would be a critical. But then when you do get that critical hit, like, you know, everyone at the table cheers. And that's a really good feeling. And it's something that as a GM, you should take a lot of pleasure in seeing from your players.
All right. So you're going to go into conditions, and then kind of, you can talk about in general, what's kind of your scaffolding that you're doing. How are you looking to build that out over time?
So basically going over things a lot more in depth. So Nexus actions, and then traits, and then more traits, and then conditions, and then probably start working on a couple of the class feats rather than the classes themselves. So there'll be like a fighter episode, a cleric episode, and going over those more mechanical aspects. And at the rate that Paizo is publishing stuff, I'll probably be able to do it for a while. There are only so many rules that you can cover. So, you know, maybe there's a point where I get to, you know, the end. I'm like, okay, well, I did my job. Good luck, everybody.
Just archive that and search it later when you need it. That's okay.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, we'll just see what goes on. I have a pretty slow release schedule, because, you know, I put all those bells and whistles into the episode. So it takes time to research stuff, to put it in a format where I think it's going to be understandable. And then once I actually get around to recording, you know, adding all of those edits and stuff until there's actually a final product. So, you know, I say that I have 13 episodes planned out. That's easily the rest of this year. And then that's just the core rule book. It's not even, you know, the Advanced Player's Guide, the Game Mastery Guide, all the Lost Omens stuff, or even mechanics that are specific to adventure paths or modules. So, yeah, there's probably a good amount of material there. We'll just have to see how that fleshes out, and if I keep people interested enough to keep listening.
Yeah. So What equipment are you using? Kind of what's the hardware and software you're using to produce this thing?
Well, I use Audacity, like I think most, a lot of podcasters, I shouldn't say most. The big one is I use a Q2 Samson for my microphone. I know that a lot of places, you know, Yeti is kind of the go-to, but I put a lot of research into trying to figure out, like, what should I spend my money on to make the best sound. And, you know, cost to quality, this one kept on coming up in different reviews. It's only like $70, and it has a USB connection. It has the aux connection. If I were ever to do, like, you know, the kind of like switchboard and stuff, holds like a normal microphone that you might expect to see on a stage in case you wanted to do that. But I have it in one of those rubber bandy things to to keep it from hitting stuff. So I use Audacity to record and edit, but I get most of the music or sounds from Epidemic Sound, is a service that you can pay for with this whole library of sound effects and some music. And basically, as long as you're paying for the subscription, you can use all of those things in your stuff, and you're not going to get in trouble. I get a lot of the music from Tabletop Audio, and they make music for tables to run during your games. They have a combination of music and sound effects that they'll play, but on their Patreon, which I'm a Patreon supporter of them, they have different versions of it, and some of it is just the sound effects, some of it's just the music, and so I download just the music. Their rights say that you can use it as long as you have attribution, and so I try to find the happy music, which is a lot more rare on their channel than, you know, the combat and the creepy, you know, because that's what most, you know, tabletops are running for, are intimidating situations. But I tried to find some that, you know, are like pleasant and uplifting, and use those pretty regularly in the podcast, especially for the long sections where I'm just like lecturing and not doing like a bit.
Yeah. So with the Samsung, I actually have one of those. That's one of my backup mics. Do you use the USB or the XLR connection?
I use USB.
So just into your computer with it.
Yeah, right into my computer.
Neat.
Perfectly well. In fact, it works almost too well. I pick up sounds that are going on outside, and so I often do my recording at night when there's less stuff going on.
Well, it's a dynamic cardioid mic, so it really should pick up mostly your what's in front of you. But if there's sounds coming from behind you, it may get you as well. My concern with it was I have a couple of Shure SM58s that I use, and actually right now I'm using a headset. It's a Audio-Technica BPHS-1. That's my kind of my go-to for my actual play, because it's a hands-free thing. It's a headset with a mic built in. But with the Samsung, I wasn't sure how it compared, because I watched all those videos that you were doing too, and it seemed pretty good. And then I found somebody locally selling one for $20 with a boom mic. So I said, shoot, I'll buy it. And so I just use it as a backup. And then I'm thinking, you know, I might want to use that as a primary. It's really pretty good mic.
It is a very good mic. Yeah. I don't know all the for any good amount of quality that I have in my podcast. I do not know any of the audio lingo slang or you know, decibels and all that stuff. I just watched videos and they said, this is a good mic. I got the good mic.
Yeah. In terms of bang for your buck, it's pretty good.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, I think you're doing an awesome job. What advice do you have for people interested in getting into RPG podcasting?
Oh, that is a question that I am woefully unqualified to answer. But all I can do is tell you what I did. The first thing is I did research about it to see, like, if this is hard. There's a book that I recommend. Says called "Everybody Has a Podcast Except for You," written by the McElroy brothers, who make the podcast "My Brother and Me" and "The Adventure Zone." They're hilarious, and they use pretty much all the same equipment that I do. They use Audacity. Mm-hmm. They use probably better mics than I do, but like they don't put all the editing bells and whistles, but they give their book is a very comprehensive look at how to make a podcast and how to make a podcast successfully. The other thing I would say is to find your niche, and I do mean your niche, not just a niche. What are you comfortable doing? What do you want to put out into the world? What do you see the podcast world needs? And maybe that is another actual play podcast. Maybe you have some really unique take on it, or maybe there's something else that you want to do. In that case, like if you're passionate about it, if you can put yourself in front of a microphone, record your voice, and put it out into the world for people to listen to, all the more power to you. But if you make another educational podcast about Pathfinder, I will come for you. And the last thing I would say is there's this quote from a show that I've been watching. The only way to begin is by beginning. And that's the hardest step. I've actually was thinking about this podcast back in September of 2020. When it was just me talking in my car with my dog in the car on the way to our dog park, just like doing silly voices and saying like, "Oh, I'm the Where's Wizard and here's what I'm going to talk about." It took me a while to get into it, but the biggest step is just jumping into it, actually putting yourself out there, actually making the recording. And if you're able to do that first step, just that one first step, you're going to be fine.
All right, Pete. So what else is coming down the road for you? Anything else exciting you're doing?
So I do a lot on my Patreon, or I say mm-hmm. a lot. I'm doing bonus episodes every once in a while. The last one that I had was with How It's Played. Mm-hmm. The one that's coming up, it looks like it's going to be with Deadly D8. Mm-hmm. And those are bonus episodes you just get to listen to on Patreon until I get to a certain funding goal, in which case I'll release them for free on the RSS feed, which the bonus episode now is on the RSS feed because I have very generous Patreon supporters.
Nice. And what is your Patreon for folks that are interested? How can they find it?
Patreon.com/RuleLord2E. In fact, it's just easier if you go to RuleLord2E.com, and I have a link tree that has my Twitter, the Patreon, the link to whatever podcatcher you use to listen to stuff like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. So RuleLord2E.com. And then I also make modules of the month. Mm-hmm. Where I work on converting 1E modules into 2E player guides or GM guides so that you're able to run all of these really cool, totally viable adventures in the gaming format that you prefer, in which case I prefer second edition to first edition. But I think it's a real shame that there is so much awesome Paizo history that with second edition, people who just want to play Pathfinder second edition might not get to experience without putting a lot of effort into it. And it's not super hard to convert modules and adventure paths, but if I can take a little bit of that work off of their plate, make a guide that's like, here's this DC, here's what it would be in second edition, so that they can just have the module open and the guide open. I think that'll get a lot more people into playing these really awesome adventures.
And what's the latest one that's out on your Patreon? What's the latest module available?
The latest module is We Be Goblins. And I do mm-hmm. want to be clear, they are all for free. Right. You do not have to be a Patreon supporter in order to have access to these modules. I'm just using Patreon as like the library, the one-stop shop, mm-hmm. Because I don't want to put extra effort into another website So they're all going to live there on Patreon, but they're all going to be completely for free, downloadable. And if there are any updates that I need to do, I'll update them and put the link on Patreon as well.
Well, Pete, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me. And until next session, don't let the rules rule you.